Okay, today's daf is Yerushalmi Megillah Daf Yud Daled, and we are on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and we are deep into halachas of Stam, Ksiva Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzah, which is partially here, maybe because there is no Menachas on in Yerushalmi, so a lot of these halachas, instead of appearing in Menachas, which we don't have, they appear right here, because we got into it with the Ein Bains. So we spoke, got into it a little bit the last year about what letters you're allowed to hang. But just one, and we could speak a lot about the Agadata that was on the page yesterday. But again, the Gemara says that we should remember Yom HaMisa. The Gemara spoke about yesterday. You are calling to the next world should be Baruch. We look at the next world as a transition, as a stage. There is a beautiful piece in the Gesher HaChaim. It was the classic Sefer on Hilchas Avelis before many of the newer, shorter compilations came up. But the Gesher Chaim is the classic. In his Akdamah Techela Gimel, he gives a mashal, and it became a song. And that's why the mashal became famous, right? Conversations in the Womb is a song. But really, it comes from here. It comes from Hashkafa Al HaMa'avar. That's the title of the piece. Hashkafa on the transition. How do we look at the transition? So he says, HaGesher, that's what he calls the whole Sefer, Gesher HaChayim. It's the bridge of life. The bridge of life is what, his whole Sefer is about death. He calls it the Gesher HaChayim. He says, HaYitzia MiBeten, he says, HaGesher HaMavir HaZeh Nikra Befinu B'Shem Chayim, VaYitzia MiBeten B'Shem Leida, VaShiva Shel Adama B'Shem Maves. We call the transition into this world birth, and the transition out of this world, death. Because in this world, we only recognize the life that we see. We don't recognize life besides breathing out of our nostrils. We don't know anything about the past. We don't really know about what's going on in utero. I mean, we do medically, but physiologically, yes, but psychologically, emotionally. And after the next world, we don't. Ad sheyish shedome shema'avaro ha-katzar hazeh hu chol olamo. Below avar, below asid. We think this is the whole world. Nothing pre, nothing post. So he says, then he gives the mashal. Ilo haya adam ba'eis hayoso ubar mekupa b'me'ayimo kishirosho b'im birkav. When he's inside, he might think, this is it. This is life. We're going to be squished in this ball of water and this bag of water. This is what life's about. And then let's say he's with his brother and he's banging with each other. He says, "Tkufas ohi shaisa lo az misucha varucha mod haisa beinav tkufas kolachayim arukim ukshne achim toomim beotam ubarim bebetan hayuchokrim v'sholim zeze ma'ye imam achrei teisa marechem." What happens? Bishum ofan lohi makavim musa kol shehu mikol ha'omid lizracheshitam. Right, you ask them, what's going to happen? That's birth? No, that's death. What do you mean? We're leaving. Ukshintayer benafshenu sheshneho achim hatomim echan mehem ma'amin b'misora la'asidos achayim shel acher hayetzia mibet. And one of them believes in afterlife, right, which is after birth. Va'asheni hamaskil sheinenu ma'amin el rak ma'ashe sichlo masig ve'en lefanav el olam hazeh she'osho margish. He only realizes the olam hazeh, this in utero. Hayom esvachim umesnagkim bashkafasam asidi lo pachos mikol osa hisnagsus b'chayi adam ali admos bein ha'element ha'ma'amin shein chidalon lo'olam lebein element ha'kofer v'adom shein l'adam el'olam mo'achshavi. Same machlokas happens in this world, probably could happen in utero. And yet, what happens? Continues, one of them starts being bored and hears the screams. And the one inside still says, "Ah, oh, my brother has just died. He's screaming. What's going on?" He thinks, it's the cry of death, but really it's the cry of birth. Right, there's this celebration. Yulad ben nitam lanu. And that's, he says that's what we have to have, that attitude, that yitzia me'rechem leidas haguf, v'hayitzia me'haguf leidas hanashama. Right? What we call birth is the birth of the body. What we call death is the birth of the neshama. Right? It's existence outside of the guf. And, that's what, the Gesher HaChaim. Unbelievable. Okay. So let's get into Yud Gimel Beis. Let's get towards the bottom. We just had a question about whether you're hanging, Shem Hashem. You're allowed to hang Shem Hashem if it's within three words, as we said. Second, third to last line. Rav Shasha. Berei Derav Chanana, we've had a number of unusual Amoraim, uncommon Amoraim. We had Ashian on yesterday's daf, and now we have Rav Shasha, Berei Derav Chanana Lamar. Tzorach lichtov heilamata me'ar kubaso shalamud. How, when you write the word at the end of the Torah, halashem tigmuluzos, you have to have the hey written lower than the bend in the lamed. Have it shorter. Why? Because you want it to be noticeable that it should be read as a separate word. Right? The only time in the Torah when we have a letter that's really a word. Ha, lashem, tigmuluzos. That hey is really a separate word and we should read it like that. So if you wrote it regular size, it could look like one word. So it's ha, lashem, tigmuluzos. Ha, lashem, tigmuluzos. Ha, whoa, lashem, tigmuluzos. Is this what you're doing to Hashem? So if it's shorter than the lamed, then it appears like a word, bifnei atzma. Period. Mezuzah. So again, today's daf is all deep detailed halachas of ksivasta. Mezuzah. So when we have a mezuzah, we know in a mezuzah we have the two times it talks about mezuzah in the Torah, in Shema, Vahayim Shemoa. So Shema and Vahayim Shemoa are not together in the Torah Shebichsav. So the question is, how do you write them on the cloth of mezuzah? How much space do you leave in between? Because Vahayim Shemoa in the Torah is what's called a stuma. There isn't too much space before it starts, but when you put it into Shema in the cloth of the tefillin, do you leave space? Because it's like two separate. It's not next to Vahafta in the Torah Shebichsav. So should you leave space or no? It's stuma in the Torah, so it should be stuma in the mezuzah. So machlokas mezuzah is tani tani psucha. Some say it should be. It could even be psucha. Meaning stuma or psucha, is tani tani stuma, and some say no, it should be written as a stuma as it is in the Torah. In the Torah, it's a stuma, so here too, it's a stuma. Stuma and psucha are defined by, and this is how the Rambam defines it, how much space is beforehand. Psucha means there's at least 9-letter space beforehand. Stuma, there's less than 9-letter space beforehand. But now, Shmuel bar Shelas Mishpeit Rav. Halacha kamisha omer psucha she'in ze makoma. The halacha is that it should be a psucha, meaning you can even write it without a space, meaning without the 9-letter space, because it's not the makam. It's not next to vahaft in the Torah, so therefore it can be written as a psucha. Next, getting into psuchas and stumos. Let's read just what it says here, and then we'll see the Rambam. Psucha meirosha. When you have, let's see, you look at the Torah. What is this, a stuma? Is this a psucha? So, right, there are different, what we call paragraphs. There are halachic paragraphs. There are stumos and psuchos. So, psucha meirosha, if the first half of a line is open space. Psucha meirosha, so the paragraph that starts after that space, stuma. That's called a stuma. A stuma is after some of the space beforehand is open at the beginning of a line. Right, the Karban Eda says, she'niach chelek berosha shita kashir tesha osios v'achar kachizkel lichtov. I didn't fully explain before about the 9 letters. We're going to get more into it now. But if you left the beginning of a line open, and then you start to write, so then the paragraph that you're starting to write after that space, that's a stuma. Psucha besofa, but if the empty space is at the end of a line, and now you're starting the paragraph at the beginning of the next line, psucha, that's a psucha. Psucha mikan u mikan, what if they have space before and after? What does that mean? It means you finish writing the previous paragraph towards the middle of the line, and then you leave some space at the end of the line, and then you leave some space also at the beginning of the next line, all together being, let's say, 9 letters. Stuma, that's also a stuma. Period. If you look in the Rambam says, in Hilchas Sefer Torah, Parsha Psucha Yesh La Shtei Tzuros. There are two ways to write a Parsha Psucha. Parsha Psucha. Im Gamar Be'emsa Shita. If you finish writing the previous paragraph in the middle of a line, so then Meniach Shara Shita Pani, you leave the rest of the line open. Umaschila Parsha Shi Psucha Bitchilas Shita Shnia Kigon Ze. Right, he has a picture in the Mishnah Torah. Right, if you have one line and then you finish the previous paragraph in the middle of the line, you leave the rest of the line blank and you start the next line at the beginning. That's a psucha. Or b'medvar b'murim shenisham enashita revach kashir shteosios. That's only if you have 9 letters empty space at the end of the line. then you can leave that empty, and then you start the psucha at the beginning of the next line. Avalamol nishar ela ma'at. What if you only have four-letter space at the end of the line? Oh, im gamar besof hashita. Oh, your mom is finished at the end of the line, and the next section is supposed to be psucha. You leave an empty line. Meniach shita shnia kula pinuya. You leave the next line totally empty. Beloksav umaskala parsha psucha mitchilas shita shlishis. Kegon zeh. And he has a picture of one line and then the empty line. That's the Rambam. What's a psucha? Psucha has to start at the beginning of a line, right? So either if you have a space of nine beforehand, or if not, then you have to leave a whole line empty beforehand. What does a stuma look like? The Rambam describes there are three different ways that a stuma can look, right? Like our Gemara says, you have space at the beginning of a line, and a stuma starts in the middle. Stuma starts in the middle. So parsha stuma yesh shtei osh im gamar be'emsa shita meniach reva kashir umas chalifto b'sof hashita mitchilas parsha she's stuma. As long as you have a space of nine letters, then you can start writing. Ad sheyimsa harevak be'emsa. And he continues, says others, just at the end of that halacha, nimsei somer sheparsha psucha tchilasa b'tchilas hashita la'olam. A parsha psucha will always start at the beginning of a line, meaning either you have a nine-letter space at the end of the previous line, or you have a total empty line above it. Parsha Psucha always starts at the beginning of the line. Uparsha Stuma never starts at the beginning of a line. Parsha Stuma, Tchilasa Me'emsa Hashita La'olam, is always the middle of a line. So a Psucha starts at the beginning of a line, a Stuma starts in the middle of a line. And then the Rambam says, Sefer Sheinu Muga B'mali V'chaser, Efshel L'takno La'giyo, a Sefer that the Mali and the Chaser, so you have an extra Vav, a this Vav, a that Vav, that you could fix. You could add in a vav and take away a vav. What about parsha psuchas and stumos? How are you supposed to fix those? Avalim toa berevach haparshios because of stuma psucha psucha stuma. O shehipsik berevach vehiniach panui b'makam she'in bo parsha v'chulu all of those hareiz apostle. Ve'in lo takana elo lesalik es kol adav shetobo. You got to take out that whole piece of the Torah. And then the Rambam has an halacha dalid. Famous, not famous. We're going to make this famous. Famous halacha where the Rambam quotes, I checked my Sefer Torah. And he quotes the Aleppo Codex, right here. The Rambam says, because that's what they have in the Dead Sea Scrolls in the museum there. That's the Tanakh that came from Syria, that Lechora, the scholars say. That's what the Rambam is referring to here. The Sefer Shesamachnu Allah B'dvarim Elu, who was Sefer HaYadua, B'mitzrayim, Shu Kolel Arba'a Ve'esrim Sfarim, Shehayib Yerushalayim, Mikam Ashanim, Lahagibi Menu Asfarim, the Allah Hayu Akol Somchin, Levishi Yigiyu Ben Asher, V'dikdek bo shanim, v'higiyub hamim rabos, kamo she'etiku alav, v'alav samachti v'sefer Torah shekasafti kilchaso. That's the one. That's the one that I relied on. But again, if you write psucha, stuma, stuma, psucha, says the Rambam, pasul sefer Torah. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, tov hishpe pasul echad. What happens if you're a sofer and you left out a pasuk? Well, hopefully it doesn't happen too often. You left out a pasuk. Im yesh bo shtayim shalosh shitin shemisachno v'kore bo. If the pasuk that you left out only takes up two or at most three lines, then you could find. Then you could erase. Or stick it in. Misachno v'kore bo. Arba in a kore bo. If you're gonna have to erase four lines, it doesn't look nice. It's too much, and therefore you can't do it. You just gotta take out the whole section. Reb Zora b'shem Reb Chananel af bekera kein. Also by a tear. What does that mean? Let's say if there's a tear in the Sefer Torah that goes through a line, or two lines, or even three lines. The Gemara seems to say, even three lines, that's okay, you can fix it. You could sew it, you could somehow get it back together. But four lines, you can't. That's what Pashas means, af bekera kein. It can't go through four lines. It'll look bad. What if there's a patch on the back so you don't even notice? Sometimes you might see Sefer Torah that has a certain type of a patch on the back. So that's a machlokas. The Rush quotes, Maker Adin, that should be fine. Because the whole issue here is that it looks bad. It looks bad if you like sew it and it was cut through four lines. But if you put a patch on the back and then you can't even see that it was ripped, the Rush quotes in Ilchas Sefer Torah, that should be mutter. But he says his Rebbe, Marami Rutenberg, didn't like it. This is only, but clearly it's only talking about a rip that's between lines. Sometimes you have, what happens if you have a rip that's just on the top of the bottom of the Sefer Torah, but it doesn't hit any of the lines? It's just on the margin. So is that okay? So Maker Adin, that is okay. That's kosher. Right, it's kosher. The Bach says this, and the Shach quotes the Bach. The Shach in Simen Reish Pei, in Yoredeya, the Shach says, the Shulchan Aruch says, Sefer Torah she nikra'a o bo yuria, betoch shnei shitos, if Sefer Torah that was torn, right, between two shitos, yitfar, betoch gimel lo yitfar. Right, but there it talks about two and three, but here the Shulchan Aruch passes two. Shach. The Kolzman Shalotafru Asr Likrosbo. if it's ripped into a line where their words are, you can't read it until you fix it. Says the Shah quoting the Bach, but if it's ripped, torn, but it doesn't, it didn't hit any of the words, you could read a lechachila. You find it on Shabbos. It's still a kosher sefer Torah. You could read a lechachila. V'nachon hu, he quotes this from the Bach. V'mikom akom nira de lechachila yisachin kol madefshar. You should fix it. You should fix it if possible. Put it, so in that case, like in the middle of a cloth, so usually put like a sticky thing on the back. But that's a difference between if it's torn in the words or just on the bottom or on the top. Okay, we continue. Tani sefer sheish bo shtayim u'shalosh toyos b'chol daf v'daf. Let's say you have a sefer Torah and you find in every column you find two or three mistakes. In old sefer Torah you found it. Misachna v'korei bo. Okay, you can fix it and you can, let's say, add in the words, be told the words. Arbein v'korei bo. If there are four mistakes in every column, that's too much. That's too much, and therefore it's just gotta be going easy. Says the Gemara, 1 second. Vatani, didn't we learn in the Brisa? Sefer sheish bo shmoneh v'chamish toyos. You have a sefer Torah that has 85 mistakes. Keparshas vayibin soha aron, 85 letters in that section. Misakna v'kari bo. Right, if that is 85 mistakes, you're allowed to read it. 1 second. If you have three mistakes in every column, it says you can read it. That's way more than 85. That's way more than 85. So how could the first the Brisa says that you can have up to three mistakes at three times how many columns are in the Torah? It's way more than 85 mistakes. So how is that kosher? So Amar Rav Shammai, Kama Sefer Gadol, Kama Sefer Katan. Sefer Gadol here means what we call a Sefer Torah. If you have a complete Sefer Torah, you could have even more, you could have three mistakes in a column, it's okay. If you have a small Sefer Torah, what does that mean? You have a Torah that only had Bereishis or Shmos, or Vayikra. So then we say that's 85 is the most that you could have. Period. Rav Zora b'shem Rav Chananel, matzah bo daf echad shalem, matzah las kulo. You have a Sefer Torah, and it's such a wreck. You have four mistakes in every column. You found one perfect column. The sofer must have been having a good day. Or, no, maybe it's been damaged. Maybe it's been damaged. The sofer wrote it perfectly 150 years ago. But also, there's one column that's not damaged. One's perfect, that's matzah the whole thing. And you can fix the rest of it. So the Gemara just wonders, what does it mean perfect? Mashalem. Shein bo shalosh toyos. Does it mean that there are no mistakes at all in that one? O shalem shein bo arba. Or it just means that it doesn't have as many as we make it problematic. Right? If you have only have three mistakes in that one. So, unclear. Chagra achuid rabbi ba barbina. Yovo reis lor chananel. So Chagra gave a Torah to Rav Chananel to check. V'karaba. Amar Leh, he says to, after checking it, he says, Hada oraisech srichat slow. This Torah of yours needs clear thinking. What's clear thinking? I gotta really check. There are so many mistakes in here. There might be more than three in one, so I don't know what I'm gonna do. And then he continued checking it, and, ubasof matzah badaf echad shalem itzelos kula. He found one perfect daf, and that saved the rest of the Torah. Ma shalem, and again, shem bo toyo, so shalem shem bo arba, the question that goes unanswered, does it mean you have one perfect one that no mistakes, or one perfect one that it has less than the problematic number of mistakes? Period. No answer. Reb Zohar, Reb Chananel b'shem Rav, Tifura halacha Moshe Misinai. Chananel says, Tifura, the sewing of the urios of the Torah, that is halacha Moshe Misinai, they're not glued together, right? They're sewn together. Halacha Moshe Misinai. So much of Hilchastam is Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Rabbi Yirmiyah B'Shem Rishmol Barav Yisrach, Kishrei Tfilin Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Ooh. The Ksharim, the knots, not just the Ksharim, Ukshartam Olse Yadecha, but how you do the knots, right? On the Shel Rosh, we have the Dalid in the back, we have the Yud on the arm. So all of those knots are Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. How exactly do you do the Dalid? That's a Machlokas Achronim. Whether you do one dalid or what's called a double dalid, right? The square, the Mishnah Berurah quotes both. Again, that's a poskim, different minhagim that one has. The Kishrei Tfilin Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Interesting discussion about tying, right? They say that you should tie the dalid before the yud on the shel yad, because it should be the shin is on the box of the shel rosh, so shin dalid yud. You should do it in the order of it, what it is. So you have the shin on the shel rosh, and you have the dalet in the back, and then you have the yud on the shel yad. Rav Yirmiyah afsikas ritzua said the tefillah. So one time Rav Yirmiyah's ritzua ripped. Shaler Rav Bar Mamala. He went to Rav Bar Mamala. Am I allowed to to what? So one shot. Am I allowed to like tie by my ritzua rift? Can I just tie the two ends of it and still use it as a ritzua? Amarle. So the answer is no. Ukshartam mafilu kshira tama. Your kshira has to be complete. This is not complete if it's ripped and your ritzua is not complete and therefore it's a problem. Discussion. Where did it rip? Right? All the way at the edge at the bottom? That's all extra. It's all extra. So it must have ripped like somewhere close to the bias. Reb Zora af seguda de ritzusa. Similar, we don't exactly know what this means, but Reb Zura, some of the sinews that maybe connect his ritzua, maybe where the ritzua goes through the bias, ripped, shal Rav Chuna ul Rav Katina. Could I sew it up? Visharanle, that, he said, yeah, you could sew it back up. Afsig Mantinyanus, a second time. Visharanle, and again they mattered it, to Lomin Ulfan. And they didn't have a Mesorah about this. They just, like, said that this is what the halacha they think is. Because again, a lot of these halachas are, is it Mehudar? Not Exer Sakasav of complete. And they said, this is Mehudar, even if it's a little, sewn. Rebab, Reidur of Chia Barba, Rebbe Chia, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, halacha, Zeshu Tofer, Tzorach Shihe Meshayer, Milamalan, Milamatan, Kidei Shalo Yikara. It's a halacha, which pashas means halacha, Moshe Sinai, that when you write it, when we tie the klafim together of a Torah, you don't tie the sinews that are used to tie, or the string that are used to tie, you don't put them all the way at the edge, like all the way at the top of the body. You leave a little space. You leave a finger or a thumb or two thumbs worth, I think two thumbs worth, you leave a little space so it doesn't rip. So it doesn't rip. So Gemara says, it says halacha Moshe Sinai, so it doesn't rip. So which is it? Umachila moche, they hit him on the head. Im halacha lama lo yikara. Vim lo yikara lama halacha. If it's halacha Moshe Sinai, then there's no reasons given for halacha Moshe Sinai. And if you give me a reason, what are you saying halacha Moshe Sinai? Meaning it's one or the other. Remember the Rambam, to understand this line, you have to appreciate the Rambam. The Rambam, if you remember, says that the five types, the five categories of halacha of Torah Shebal Peh, the Rambam in Hakdamah to Pirsha Mishnayis, talks about the five categories of Torah Shebal Peh. The first two are both from Moshe Rabbeinu. Pirushim HaMukubalim Yipi Moshe Rabbeinu and Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai. Those are the two categories. What's the difference between the two categories? The Rambam says, the first one, Pirushim HaMukubalim, you could come up with after a while. If I gave you 100 years, you could come up with it. Pre-Eitz Hadar being an Esrog. That's a Pirushim HaMukubalim Yipi Moshe Rabbeinu. So Esrog is a beautiful fruit. Why is any other fruit better than an Esrog? So maybe you could have come up with it. Or the two examples that are given, right? Ayin Tachas Ayin. Money, right? That's so hard. You know, 98% of legal systems in the world believe in that. They don't believe literally eye for an eye. So it's not so crazy to come up with those. But the Rambam says, Halacha Moshe MiSinai, there's no svar. Halacha Moshe MiSinai, I'll give you 100 years, you can never come up with it. Why is Kazayas the shear of Achila? Right? Why is Ten Tfachim the shear of a Mechitza? All Halacha Moshe MiSinai's. Nisuch HaMayim, according to that Deya. Halacha Moshe MiSinai. We never pour water, and it was always wine. So all these halachos should be sinais, says the Rambam, there's no svar for it. So that's behind this Gemara's question. What are you giving me a reason for? If it's halachos should be sinais, halachos should be sinai. Right? Nothing to talk about. So that's what the Rambam says. Again, I'm not going to read it, but he says it here in the Hakdamah to Pirush Mishnayis. We continue. Halachos should be sinai. Many halachos. Shiakosvin ba'oros. That we write are Kisvei HaKodesh on hives. The Kosvim B'dio, and you use ink, that's permanent ink. Umisargalin Bekana. And that's, make lines. That's called Sirtut. Sirtut. You make lines. Not like what we write on, like lines on the, we write on top of the lines. But lines, you score. That's the fancy English word, scoring. Misartate on the top of the line. So to keep it even. That's Achabosh B'Sinai. It's fascinating. Again, not for now. Why? Achabosh B'Sinai. We don't know why. Mezuzah, the halacha is you have to score every line in the mezuzah. Tefillin, just the top line. Just the top line. Sefer Torah, unclear. Machlokes Rishonim. But that's the halacha. That's the halacha. The Mishnah Berurah talks about this in, and the Shulchan Aruch talks about this in Reish, in Lamed Beis. I read it from Aruch Chaim. It's in both places. In Lamed Beis Vav, the Shulchan Aruch, fascinating, but many of us who are not sofrim don't always get to focus on these issues. The Shulchan Aruch says, Sifav, Ein Sarech Lesarte Ki Imshita Elyona. For tefillin, just the top, you need one score on the top. One score on the top, and then you'll be able to write straight underneath. But let's say you're a sofer, you can't write straight lines without scoring all of them. Then you start to call ashuras. There's no problem with it. So if you want to write it all straight, don't make a mark. It's supposed to be just marks, but you're not supposed to see them afterwards. Says the Ramah, the minag is, by tefillin, is to score a square. Not just on top of the Shulchan Aruch says, but the top, the bottom, and the two sides. The square where you're going to write the parshios in, that's the minog, says the Ramah. Even though you're a great sofer, and you could go straight without sirtut, the chay noagin. That's the minog. Says the bir halacha, the kayom noagu l'hakol l'sarti b'chol ashitin. The minog ha'olam of sofrim is to be misarti the whole thing. Like Shulchan Aruch says, if you're not an expert, you should do it. So that's the minog, the bir halacha quotes, that we do it everything. So again, mezuzah is all of them, mikra din. Tefillin is just the first line. The Ramah quotes that square is the minog, and the bir halacha quotes that the minog is to do all of them, to do all of them. Sefer Torah is a discussion in the poskim. Okay, misaglan v'kana. V'karchin b'seyar. Also interesting, karchin b'seyar. If you ever watched tefillin, when they are, after the sofer finishes, they wrap it up with a hair, usually the hair of a certain behemah. So they wrap it up. But then it says, v'tolin b'matlis, you also cover, after you fold up the parshas of the tefillin, they use another piece of cloth to put over it as like a protection. So in the order that we have it is that you wrap it with a hair, and then you put this cover on with another piece of cloth. In the Rambam, another he showed him, it's flipped. So the Ramah quotes, we do both. We do both. After you finish writing tefillin, a cloth, the sofer wraps it in string, special string from the animal, kosher animal, and then, maybe not, but I'm going to get into that now, what you need kosher, what you need not kosher for, but a string, then you put a piece of cloth, then another string. Right? That's what the Ramah quotes, is the minhag, that's a, and again, towards the end of Lamed Beis, in Mem Dalet. Ramah, v'noagin lichroch seir ala parsha, v'yachagach korchon of klaf, kasher, v'chozer v'kochron alav seir. Both. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, because yeshomrim this, yeshomrim that, so we do both. What are you supposed to do? String and then klaf and then string, so we do both. Okay. V'dovkin b'devek, if you happen, the carbonate explains, to write tefillin on more than one klaf, you can stick them together, glue them together. V'tofrin b'gidin, and you can sew the box with special sinews. J'utofer yetofer k'tefer azeh. And whenever you do tefira, right, whenever you do tefira in the tefillin, you tie it, do it with gidin and not with anything else. V'sarach shei mishar bein shita l'shita kama l'shita. Columns in the Sefer Torah, you have to leave a little space between, I'm sorry, this is the lines. Every row, you have to leave the space of a row in between each shita of the, in a Sefer Torah. Bein teva l'teva kama l'os, between every word, you have to leave the space of a letter. Bein os l'os kolshu, between every letter, a little space, kolshu, because it has to be mukav gvil. Bein daf l'daf malo godel, between each column, one thumb's breath. The Bavli seems to say two thumbs breath. Asa sof hadaf shove l'tchilaso, puzzle. If you make the columns very close together, so like sometimes about Korah, you just go to the next column, puzzle. You have to leave space on top and the bottom of the columns too. Like we said before, two fingers on top and three on the bottom. Rebbe Omer, b'Torah, milamal and shalosh, milamat and tefach. No, it's even more by a Torah. Three on top and four on the bottom, a tefach. Four empty lines between each sefer of the Torah. Ubenavi shal shneimasar shalosh. And within Shreyasar, when you have a cloth of Shreyasar, you have to leave three empty lines. When you finish a sefer in the Torah, you have to finish in the middle of a line, finish and end in the middle of a line. Ubanavi gomer besofo, maslab arosho, ubanavi, you can finish at the end, start at the beginning, next line, ubanavi shal shneimasar aser, because that's like Torah. Enosin yuye pechusim yishalosha dafin. We know that the Torah, you know, you string together different parchments. You have to have at least three columns on each parchment. Below Yosra al Shmone, but not more than eight. Between three and eight on each parchment, because that's what looks nice. Hadadat Omar Betchila. This is all of them. Betchila just means not the last one. Avol Basov, the last one, Afil Kolshu. The last one in the Torah, whatever columns you need, it's fine. Ubiklafim Lonaso Chamashir. How many parchments for a Torah? However many you need. We know there are different layers of skin that are used for different things. There's for Torah, for mezuzah. So gvil is the outer one. So gvil, when you after you smooth it, you take the hair off, you have to write. You have to write the Torah on the outside, the side of the hair. But the klaf, which is the inner side, if you're using that, you have to write on the inner side of that. Gina pasul, and if you do the wrong side, then it is pasul. Lo ye kosef chetzi ala or chetzi ala klaf, and you shouldn't split it, because it doesn't look nice. If you use inner a parchment and outer parchment, some, and you can't mix and match. But you can use different animals. So this is all kosher. It's all animals, the same type of skin. In kosher nala alor behima tahora, my timer, what's the source that you have to use kosher animals to write on? L'mantia taras Hashem b'ficha, b'mashatan osim b'ficha. Right, based on that pasuk, by tefillin, and we extend it to the other kisvei HaKodesh. Says the Gemara of Atani, kosher agabi or nevi'el satrefus. What do you mean? What could go into your mouth, but the animal doesn't have to be shechted, be nevi'el or trefa? So the Gemara says, mina ta'an osim b'ficha. It doesn't mean it literally has to be a kosher shechted animal. It could be a nevela, as long as it's the type of animal that's kosher. That's all that's needed. Period. Vos in amud l'sefer b'sofo. L'torah. And what do we do? Well, we call an atzei chayim. For a navi, you need one. Right? Amud l'sefer b'sofo. L'torah mikan l'mikan. By a Torah, we have two atzei chayims. L'ficha golin ha-sefer l'tchila so v'ator l'mse'isa. A navi is bound up and starts at the beginning, but a Torah can be anywhere in the middle. Whatever you're up to in the laning. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Zaor b'shem Rav Chiya bar Yosef, afilu shtei yirios. Even if, let's say, you're in Parshas Bereishis, you might only have two columns on one side of the Torah, that's okay. Rav Zaor Shmuel bar Shelos b'shem Kana, u'bilvad b'makam ha-tefer. But when you roll the Torah, make sure there is a seam in the middle, right? Every teacher of Hagba will teach you that you got to do a Hagba with a seam in the middle, and then when you roll the Torah, the seam should be in the middle. So chas v'shalom, any type of rip, this is what will rip on the seam. Reb Achar b'shem Shmuel bar Nachman, sefer she'ein ala mapa. We'll finish with this. If a sefer that doesn't have a mapa, so the mafarshim say you're writing the Torah and now you want the ink to dry. The problem is it's like a bizoyan to leave it open. So what do you do? So put a cloth over it. You don't not sinking down so it goes into the ink, but cover it. Cover. If you don't have a cloth, turn it over. Because it's a bizayin, period. It's a bizayin. If you look at the Bach, you look in the Bach, there's one simen in Yaradeya. One simen, Reish Ayin, one sif in this simen, Reish Ayin Zayin. The Tur says, you wrote a something in the Torah, you wrote a parchment, and you want to leave it open to dry. Lo yafal ksav lamati. You shouldn't turn it over, because that's a bizayin. Rather, you should put a cloth over it. But says the Bach, look in the Yerushalmi and Megillah. If you don't have a cloth, turn it over. Turn it over. But then the Bach adds, Umikan yesh lomod, shelo yelech adam lachutz v'yaniach ha-sefer pasuach. Never leave a sefer open. Im ein alav mapa. Right? If it doesn't have a cloth on it, delav dafka sefer Torah, du adin shar svarim. Not only sefer Torah, any sefer, you shouldn't leave it open. This is the Bach. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, the Aruch HaShulchan here in Reish Ayin Zayin, it's not that if you have to go to the bathroom and you leave for a minute. If you're leaving for a while, says the Aruch HaShulchan, Vidnira li dedafka kisheyotza l'rechov. You're going out for an errand. Aval hanichnas b'cheder l'cheder, o afilu l'chatzer v'l'rechov, shelo al aricha zman in chash bazeh. Then I don't think it's a problem. If you're just leaving for a short time, the Aruch HaShulchan says, only a longer time, that's the Bach, based on this Gemara. Okay, we'll have to stop here.